Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. Today, with Joe and I, we have Christy Keeter, the team leader out of KW United Falls Church, an extraordinary, experienced entrepreneur herself, coming to tell her story about mindset and drive and how to overcome some hurdles that may come up every now and then. Christy, welcome to Entrepreneurial Impact.
Thanks so much for having me. This is unusual because I know you guys really, really well. So it's funny to be here. I can't BS any of these answers because you'll know it.
The hot seat, literally.
Absolutely. Well, listen, for those that don't know you as well as Joe and I do, why don't you give everybody a little background? Because what we like to do, share everybody, is there's an entrepreneurial journey that brings somebody to the podcast, right? And some of it has something to do with real estate, but not always. And your business acumen precursors real estate. So kind of give everybody a background of what that looks like for you.
All right. Awesome. Yeah, thanks. So I'm originally from Southern California. I came to the DC area around 2008. And so you're alluding to that the business that I started in Alexandria, Virginia. So I had a business partner. We started a moving company called Two Marines Moving. And at that time, I was working as a recruiter, and a lot of was happening in my life. So started a very small company that grew to about 100 employees, and then expanded to Florida, and really were able to impact a lot of people's lives throughout that time period, and eventually transitioned into working in Keller Williams, which was really different. Still has a small business feel, yet it was a little more corporate than being self-employed. And I've been in Keller Williams about 4.5 years now, 4 to 4.5 years, and fairly recently in this market center, and we're having a really good time.
I like that. Moderately corporate. That's where we are. We're moderate.
Yeah. Corporate light. Yeah. Corporate
light. So your entrepreneurial experience had an impact to move you into corporate light. Got it. We're tracking.
What was that? Was there something in you originally that drove you to say, hey, I want to be an independent business owner? Like, is that something from your background? Was that just something that happened by happenstance? But how did that happen for you originally?
Gosh, this is a tricky question to answer. I think really the real answer to this is I am cautiously experimental. Entrepreneurship is not for everyone. And if I see an idea or there's something, like I feel like I'm being led down a certain path, I'm open to exploring it. And at that time, it was really myself and my business partner. My business partner was getting out of the military and was unemployed, literally on unemployment. And came up with the idea and we ran with it. I mean, at the beginning, it was a situation of starting a business out of your one bedroom condo, interviewing people at the, in communities where there's like a center for the community, literally interviewing people there at Starbucks. It was like full on grassroots in the beginning, doing all the things that I know you need to do to grow a business, and just like scaling it from there. So it wasn't like I was like, oh, I just want to start a business someday. It was just the opportunity presented itself and we ran with it. And when I think back, in every ecosystem I've been in like roles, jobs, I've been working since I was probably like 15 years old, I always found myself doing leadership type things, either impacting people in their personal lives or in their business by getting them to like focus more intentionally on specific things.
So I want to ask a question there. You've brought up impact probably 5 times in the last 3 minutes. What is impact to Christy? Define.
Well, first of all, I just want to plug your podcast now. It's so funny when you do this because I'm unaware of the words I use unless I were to like watch back, and I don't like watching back something after I spoke. Impact is really why I'm in this role now. I came into this team leader role because it feels really good to help people. I'm really interested in general in the human experience. I'm curious about it. And I feel like in all businesses, you almost have your own social experiment happening at any given time. And when you're in a role like this, where you're running a market center and you're helping agents grow their businesses, If you're in Keller Williams, you realize and recognize that it's much more than just growing your business. This is a personal development company. We say we're a tech company, we say we're all these things, and really we help people develop. And you'll notice that a lot of people that have mastered this and figured out how to grow a robust business got their start at Keller Williams. And it's not a magic formula of, we have all the sauce that no one has. There's self-help books out there. There are things that you can read. We package it up and it becomes a part of our lifestyle. And we talk about it every day to where it just becomes normal. And that phenomenon of you become like the people you surround yourself with starts to show up.
So I'm gonna anchor you. I think one of the best parts of the amount of books that you read, because I know you personally, means that your vocabulary expands, which that emotion that's elicited from what you just described is amazing for people. Can you give me an example of what Christie's most impactful experience you've had with one of the agents that you work with?
Oh man.
Took 5 minutes for Joe to go rogue and off script.
Yeah,
I'm setting up
off one. Script. Otherwise, this won't be so fun. It's not even one moment, right? It's like the people that you're involved with in your coaching, and I'm naturally really involved in my agents' lives. If all of a sudden, more than one of my agents has had breast cancer in the time that I've been doing this, right? So it's like you're coaching somebody and they're like, okay, I'm going through this, and you're involved in it, and you're helping them continue to run their business and find solutions, and you see them through the end of that, right? There's a lot of emotions involved in life. I think we all hope for like this perfect time where everything's going to be just great. And I think we all know, because of all the things we've been through, is you're constantly going to have roadblocks. You're going to have life roadblocks, business roadblocks. You're going to have negotiations that go awry. And it's those moments where you see people keep pushing through and they pick up and they keep on going. That's really touching for me. So I literally like I'm flashing all sorts of scenarios through it. I feel like a lot of them are really private for people. So I don't know that I want to like name somebody and like walk through a specific scenario. Yeah. I feel like they're happening all the time.
No, I think, well, again, you can tie that back to the impact, right? Some of the things that you're doing there, but you're right. Like you deal with things on a day to day and you learn things about people, and it's how you handle them, how you react in that moment, that's going to set a tone for them and how they potentially handle it through their business and their personal life at the same time. It's a really tricky and emotional spot to be as a leader.
Yeah.
So when we look at your mindset, because that getting ready for each of those individual conversations or being the business developer that you are, right, for yourself and now for others, right, what motivates you? Like, how do you get in the mindset, okay, that I want to talk to these people, but how to, at the same time, there's challenges in that motivation that keeps you going to wanting to have those conversations or establish new relationships with people to get, I don't want to get back to the negative pointing it, but be able to have those types of conversations.
Okay. Trick question. What motivates you? So first of all, you have to be interested in people, right? If you're like not interested in people, maybe it could drive you. I'm not there, so I don't know that mindset. You could be a sociopath and be driven by winning. I don't know. So there's different people are motivated by different things. I am interested in people. I'm interested in human outcomes. So that is ideally motivating to me, like the ideal of it. Now, what drives you, right? And so I can't show up to work not 100%. I can't do what I need to do in my role and serve people every day if I'm not whole. And so that requires me to do certain micro things that might not seem like a big deal in that moment, yet consistently are a really big deal to how I feel and how I'm able to operate. And you guys know me, so like I'm always texting you guys trying to get you to do these things, right? So it's exercise, it's like journaling, it's reading, it's just being consistent with my schedule, it's getting enough sleep. Like anything that Andrew Huberman is talking about on his podcast needs to happen.
Little plug there, maybe we should get some $1,000. Well, but there's also, now, so that if that's your mindset, but then there's, there's a difference between mindset and goals. How do you work them together?
I mean, we're in an ecosystem where we talk about goals all the time, right? We write them down. We have templates that we use for them. We think about them. So, okay. So, like, and you're quasi on our team, right? So you know how our team operates. We have a text that goes out every morning with all the numbers. Everything is super transparent. So first of all, there's no hiding. Okay. So our leadership team is tracking on, like, the financials of this brokerage on a daily basis, and also the activities that need to happen in terms of recruiting and retention that would impact our bottom line. So I have to show up in order for everybody else to be able to show up, right? Because we're teaching people how to think and we're showing them how to operate. And that is a responsibility that I take very seriously.
All right. So when it comes to goals, there's an awareness that applies to accountability, but without understanding what the true vision of the goals are, then how can you have mindset to get there? Right. So everything kind of bundles up together really nicely, but that all comes through communication. So that constantly putting it out there in front of us is that there's no hiding from it. It's not meant to be hidden from, but it's just like, this is where we go. How are we going to get there?
Yeah.
Love that. Even with that, right, there are challenges that happen, right?
Yes.
So what do you have to kind of get yourself, because again, to lead, right, to set those examples, you have to kind of prepare yourself. So whether it's health and it's awareness, but that's not an easy thing. So what additional habits or what obstacles do you have to overcome so you can show up for your team? So
yeah,
showing up is a mindset, but doing it is something else.
Yeah, like life happens, right? Like if we all three of us have kids, your kid, I have one, you guys have more than one. You know, I can't have a bad morning with my teenager who is up and down and thinks he's alpha, right? And come into work and have an amazing day without working on my mindset. So I think it comes down to that. So I have a routine that I follow. I wake up in the morning. Lately, I've been doing a quick workout in the morning. So I get up early and do that before my child wakes up. And out of the shower, I usually listen to a podcast or I'm listening to an audio book.
She means this one.
I'm listening to your podcast in the morning. I do sometimes. I do listen to your podcast sometimes. I have a few in rotation. One's Coaching for Leaders by Dave Stachowiak. His last name's like, it's Polish-like or maybe Eastern European. I do love Andrew Huberman. I like how like he gets into the details of the science. Some people can't handle that. That's like too long for them. They're very long podcasts. I different ones. I even listen to Arnold Schwarzenegger's podcast sometimes. It'll make you laugh. I know. Like David, just like, please don't say that. Anything that can be motivational, I can take someone talking at me. Like I don't want a human really talking at me. Like cussing at me. Yeah, I can listen to a podcast that's like David Goggins like telling me what to do, and that motivates. I'm okay with it because I'm like, I need to hear that, go do this right now. And so I start out my day like that. I make some phone calls on the way to work, and then we have our stand-up meeting as soon as I get in the office, and like we get going, and then like I'm all caffeined up and I'm ready to make phone calls.
So let me just clarify what you just said about David Goggins. So if one of your people that is one of your coaches or bosses or like someone that's an influential leader, if they want to cuss you out, what they should actually do is make it third party cuss out about a topic or whatever, and then do a recording and send it to you, and that's gonna be motivating. Got it.
Indirect. Okay. Indirect. No, I did have a coach that is very well known in our ecosystem that is kind of that style. Yeah, I appreciated that he interacted with me in more business-like manners. But I recognize this through my agents every day. I took our agents to another team meeting at one of our local brokerages because they invited us. And there was a speaker, and one of the people I brought did not like him. And I recognized not everybody likes that sort of conversation. I don't think I would have a long time ago. I've learned the benefit that it has for me and what it ignites in my brain. And I'm able to like get over my ego to be able to take that message and let it motivate me to go do something.
Makes sense. I think the cool part about what you just delve into for all of us is insight. Like it's self-awareness and then being able to take something that normally would be, I've talked to Dave about this a lot, is like yin and yang, your ability to have an insight and self-awareness of what something is resonating with you and your natural reaction to it, being able to pause, take your second, like your second cognitive thought, and really say, okay, this resonated poorly, but there's always the yin to the yang, and how do I actually position that in a place that's positive so I can move forward with it, which is, I think, a really amazing mindset thing for people that face challenges on a regular basis, to put something in that's actually beneficial to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I was waiting for you to go deeper, like, because you're so structured and organized, and that kind of comes across in your approach. But I have to imagine sometimes you just may find yourself screaming into a pillow, like, because that's where I find myself sometimes. That polish and that approach, but sometimes there's got to be an unnerving factor where we just got to let it go, right? But because we're hard to be focused all the time. But then when I realize that, I look around and say, when you're coming and you're building an environment, and I just kind of wanted to hear your thoughts, I was like, when you recognize that what you represent as a leader doesn't always immediately take effect. But so tell us about sometimes how what you're doing shows up, and how do you see others develop based off of what you're setting as an example with?
Okay. It's funny that you guys have the perception I'm really structured and organized. I think like I am a little bit, but I'm not like maximum. You have to know that by now. This is interesting. And thank you. Change is not immediate, right? And in organizations, rapid change is actually not good. It's too disruptive. It could really put you out of business. In terms of like having things show up, it's the same as my morning routine, right? You when you're working with people, you want to help them develop small habits that may not seem like a big deal, yet once they're put in place and done consistently in their business or in their lives, over time, cumulatively, you start to see the result. Your business, it's going to be profit. If it's exercise, it's going to be your clarity, your energy level, it potentially the size of clothes that you're wearing, right? So it's like, what is the outcome going to be from that particular thing? We're humans, right? We're a holistic being. And in terms of running our business, we can't look at our businesses holistically. Like, we are the first commodity. We're operating in it every day. So if we don't take care of ourselves, like spiritually, mentally and physically, we can't operate that way. We can't be successful in business. And so I think, you know, we're always as a team talking about all those elements and checking in with each other and seeing, how can we help raise each other up? And it's a matter of like setting the example and encouragement. I don't know if that's the answer that you're looking for.
No, there's never any perfect answer to a question, right? But I think when we've been, and like somebody who's brought people into her world through other businesses and now through leadership in a Keller Williams Market Center, right, and impacting people that are building businesses and impacting other leaders, I think just you probably have seen others adapt and learn from you. So that's kind of was what I was thinking, like, because the change you make, there can be incremental change, but there also can be radical change too. And there's not a timetable for either, depending on what the outcome is driven to be. But I was looking for like, hey, how does that feel? Like when you see that in somebody.
Oh, I mean, that's great. It's like being a teacher, right? It's when you see a student's eyes like turn on and like, oh, I get it now. And you're like so excited, like, oh, you get it. Or they come back and tell you, yeah, I increased my profit, or I did this thing, or I accomplished this thing. That's super fulfilling. It's not a one-way street though. I learn from everybody every day, like good and bad, right? Like I may recognize a behavior in somebody that could be a negative trait of myself, and then I analyze and go, oh wow, I've been doing that, or I don't want to be like that, and I need to check myself, or I really like how that person connected with them before they delivered that bad news. I'm going to try that next time. So it's reciprocal. I get just as many learning lessons and value from the people that I'm helping to lead as they are getting from me.
Now, when you're talking about goals and objectives and drive, right? Because this is really what I wanted to kind of hammer through sometimes. And I don't know, I think the answer is, to a degree, there is a learned behavior about how driven am I. But I also think there's an inert behavior that it's got to be there and it's got to resonate with you to some degree. Right? Because of the hurdles that we do see in business every day, right? How do you continuously show up in the hard times, right? And how do you lead through the hard times to say, okay, I'm not giving up and I'm going to drive ahead? Like, how do you keep pounding that nail?
Oh, there's so many layers to the answers of this. I'm going to talk about my dad. I'm going to talk about a book that you and I mutually really like. let's start there. So I've thought about this a lot. People are like, why are you that way? Right? Because they may feel like people in my environment may feel like I'm more motivated or consistent than they're used to being. And I feel like I have a few advantages. I also don't believe in making excuses. So advantages are I had two parents that were, my mom was an aerobics instructor. My dad played like football in high school, was always active. My parents ate fairly healthfully, even though we ate a lot of Polish food growing up, Polish and Ukrainian food, which is not very healthy. And we were active, right? So
anyway, throw these like, garlic and butter, let's go.
We ate real food though, for the most part. You know, like it wasn't like I came in a household where like it was simple. It wasn't like extravagant, but we ate real food. So there are a couple of baseline things that were set up for me that were normal for me, right? So physical activity was always normal because I recognize when I'm coaching people and if they did not grow up working out or they did not grow up, because literally this is part of some of the coaching that I do with my agents. It's like around them working out or this because they have set a goal for themselves and they are having a hard time mastering this thing. And I have a foundation in my childhood that sets a certain tone for how I live, right? Because we don't do what people say, we do what we see, right? And so I saw that growing up, and it was a normal part of my life. Playing sports was normal. I've also had challenges and obstacles around it too. I've had some health issues and things that a lot of people don't know about, where they said, oh, it's just easy for you, and you don't know about this, and you don't know about that, and they have no idea some of the things that I've had to overcome that do impact my ability to do that. And I've realized you can either make excuses for it and just be miserable, or you can do what you can every day and push yourself a little more to see how far you can go. It's really your choice. You know, like if you can't walk, there's a guy that goes to one of the gyms I go to. He is paralyzed from the waist down. He is in there on a regular basis and he's doing this arm machine and he's lifting weights. And when I walk in there and I'm feeling sorry for myself, I look at that guy and I go, he showed up today. I think he's a former Marine. That guy showed up today. Like, I don't feel like running. I don't feel like doing these squats. Like
you have to go yourself. There's like there's an amazing mindset of this goes back like to two quotes. Like I was going through some old stuff from when I played Division III football and like had some notes from like a coach and I thought it was interesting is that one of the statements that you just brought up is like the statement was when you think you've given 100%, you probably have 20% more in you. You just have to put your mind to it.
Yeah.
I think is like a really big one for people, like understanding that like you're not really there and then being humble about what you've actually achieved is really important because there's people that even though you might have certain struggles that we don't see and we all do, is that there's somebody else that your life is actually what they aspire to be. And I think it's really humbling when you think about that as well.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Joe. That's so funny because we did this exercise the other day in our team meeting, right? And it's the same thing. So everybody raise your hand. Raise your hand as high as you can, Joe. This is so cheesy. This is John Maxwell. This is okay, now raise it a little higher. Okay, so you can put your arm down.
I didn't move.
As high as you, David already knows the answer to this. Did you raise it as high as you could the first time?
No, you made that. That's a really good exercise.
And you went like a little further, right? So there's always more. And like I had somebody standing up in the back because they're so competitive. Everyone's like, oh, how high, you know, is everyone else's hand or can I do this? You know, I'm very self-competitive. So I'm like, I could do it higher for myself. Other people are comparing themselves to others. Everyone's different. But yeah. And so the other thing is, the book Man's Search for Meaning. And David, you and I have talked about this, right? And it's like you think about somebody that goes through an experience, right, of spending 3 years in a concentration camp and like how do you check in with yourself? What do you have to think about every day to get up and operate and keep going? And your wife passes away, right? And you don't know and you haven't seen them since you've arrived and you really don't know what the outcome is going to be. This is where people start to separate, right? Whether they can create hope for themselves or they decide to turn off. And suffering is a part of the human experience. I do worry for people with like social media and things that they see today in the younger generations of this idea of like dopamine hits and people wanting to be comfortable all the time and everything has to be good and easy. And we say, you know, it's simple, not easy. Life isn't going to be easy. It's never going to be easy. And actually, I don't think you would be happy if it was easy all the time. You would be bored out of your mind. We need to have moments that are hard so that we can show up for ourselves in the best way possible to push through it so that we can continue to grow and do better.
Have you ever seen the movie WALL-E?
I think I did see it. I don't remember all of it.
So for those of you listening, there's a movie that my kids love that I have the pleasure of watching at 6 o'clock in the morning with my middle child, Teddy. Loves WALL-E, but what was really eye-opening about these Disney movies is that they usually have some like underhanded message. And it was basically the human race destroyed the world, like as far as trash goes, and they deployed robots to clean up all the trash. Here's the kicker. They get all the human race gets put onto like this like ship for 400 years, and everyone wanted the easy button. So what happened is midway through this movie, the whole entire race or human race is on wheelchairs. They can't cook. They can't do anything. They're overweight. And basically technology takes over everything because they want easy. So I digress on an analogy to a Disney movie, but that's what the first thing came to my mind.
There's not a lot of uplifting in Disney.
Yeah, that's like, clear. That's like 1984 all over again, right? That's like the modern version. I mean, that is what things are looking like. I mean, there are positives to it, right? It's like how we need to remember what our true nature is. And it's that we are physical beings. We need to be outside. We need to get sunlight. We need to move our bodies. We have to do hard things. We have to challenge our minds or else we're going to get Alzheimer's. Like, you know, so it's simple, not easy.
So what would you, if you were sitting across from somebody, Gen X or just new to business, altogether, millennial, however we want to label or not, right? Get careful with labels. But how would you sit with an aspiring entrepreneur and say, here's how you can be successful and map your future if you do these things? What does that look like?
Well, I wouldn't start by being prescriptive. I would ask him a lot of questions. So we would start by, I would like to know what their true motivation is, right? Because we're all motivated by different things. Because the way that I would deliver any help would be different based on how they are motivated. So, and we all know the statistics, right? Most small businesses fail within the first 5 years. I mean, it's like 40 something percent. And I don't know how accurate that is. Not everybody is meant to be an entrepreneur. And it's a really sexy word. It's a sloppy word, and people don't identify the sloppiness of it because an entrepreneur is somebody that's willing to take a certain amount of risk without having it perfect to get started. And not everybody is willing to take that level of risk. So that you have different types, right? There's a type of person that wants to go to training all day long and learn, and never apply it because they have not learned enough to get started yet. It's going to be hard for that person unless they get plugged in somewhere and have any like a specific role, right? Some people do operate better when they know exactly what they need to do. Being an entrepreneur is not knowing exactly what you need to do, but there are three things that my mentor would say are really important, and it's financial controls, recruiting, and marketing and sales. So you can't sell anything if you're not selling anything. If you don't have any clients, there's nothing to sell. Direct. So there's that. And then there's who you hire to do things, right? We teach this process called career visioning. I know Joe loves it. We teach a process at Keller Williams that's really good. I think any recruiting firm would look at it and say, hey, this is a pretty good way to make good hires in your business. So you need to get really good at that. I think if you want to grow a business that's like beyond an individual practitioner, meaning like one a salesperson that has support staff, You need to like people and want to lead people. If an agent comes to me and says, I want to start a real estate team, my first question to them is, do you want to make more money or do you want to lead people? Because if you don't want to lead people, like, this is going to go really poorly.
That might be the first time I've ever heard somebody talk about building a team, and the first, like, caveat being, if you don't like people, don't even start. Like, I love that, and I've never actually heard that on any of these podcasts, nor have I heard that in my normal, like, 12 years of doing this. So I just learned something today. Thank you, Christy.
We see it all the time, right? If you don't care about developing other humans, you have no business being a leader.
Yeah.
You have to care about developing other people. There are leaders or entrepreneurs that start businesses that may have other drives, right? Yet if you are going to create a business with an amazing culture, either you or you have to put somebody in charge to operate for you that is going to care so much about developing others that you're going to be successful. Otherwise, you have people come to you saying, oh, this leadership thing is too hard. I don't like people. I don't want to have these meetings. And if you don't connect with your people and you don't want to lead people, you can't develop people and you're not going to be good at it. You're not going to make money.
Got a question for you, because I know you like personal challenge. Did you get into leadership because doing a certain sales function was too easy for you and getting into leadership was like playing chess? And you had already accomplished one thing, so getting into people was actually a whole other thing to unlock.
I'm going to think of the most politically correct way to say this. So I transitioned to doing this. I think real estate sales is an amazing way for you to learn about business and create financial wealth for yourself so that you can start to build other streams of income. I mean, we do that all day long, right? And it's a really good role for people that care about people because we care about our clients. Like, that is the number one thing. At the end of the day, this is about being a true fiduciary to somebody and making sure that they get the outcome that they want. It's their wants and their needs. At the point of my career that I transitioned into this, it was, do you want to be a salesperson or do you want to lead others? And for me, having the opportunity to learn and grow and lead other people, which it is frustrating, right? We do have days where you're like, I don't know what the conversation needs to be to get this person to do this thing.
Dave has to deal with me on a regular basis. I completely understand the problem.
You're not that bad, Joe.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, I mean, we all know, you know, in terms of like the team leader role, like brokerage management, when you take a real estate salesperson, you put them in this role for a year, they see how disciplined you really need to be and they learn a lot. And then they go back out and they like totally kill it because they just went through like leadership boot camp. Are you telling me to go sell houses, Joe?
No. I think
what you touch on is an important point when you said, look, to a degree, sales in real estate in certain areas could be easier than leadership from a quick profitability standpoint, right? There's some real drive that has to be. There's some real madness that has to take place saying, I'm going to go in this other direction because you're looking for a different type of value and return other than financial if you're going down this route.
The reason I asked that question, Christy, is that going back to our statement of entrepreneurial impact is that I asked a tough question about the fact of why would you choose one route over another because one might actually have better financials, but there you took a road less traveled because of the impact and the ability to be uncomfortable because being great at sales does not make you great at leadership. And actually, I've seen some of the best leaders actually be terrible in sales because in sales, I don't know if anyone's ever looked at this, is that you're incentivized to hold back information. In leadership, if you hold back information, you're going to fail. And I think the reason I brought that up for everybody listening was that there's a genuine story of you being on here about a journey of sales and how that could be impactful for a need in the community. Because I look at an entrepreneurship and say, this is someone that's a business person that's willing to take high levels of risk that most wouldn't, not because of the financial return, but because of the impact they see at the local level. And I think highlighting your story of going from that to a different place and saying that I actually wanted something more fulfilling than just transactional is something I think a lot of our people that listen into this have to understand the long legacy that's left based on the people that you impact.
Well, awesome. So, Chrissy, before we wrap up, I'm going to close with one last thought. We've covered a lot of topics from motivation to drive to influence, right, and advice. But if there was one takeaway from this conversation that you really wanted to make sure that people took to heart, what would that be?
Oh, gosh, we kind of went all over the place. One takeaway is with anything, you have to start somewhere. Everybody has a first day.
There you go.
And so, yeah, whether it's your health, your time with your family, what you want to do in your business, you have to start somewhere, and you're not going to get to 100% in one day. You got to do the small pieces.
Never too late to start. Incremental change is good. And hockey stick growth will happen from there, right? So everybody, thanks for joining Joe and I. Christy, it's been our pleasure to host you on Entrepreneurial Impact. And everybody, bookmark this one. It was a good one. And we'll see you next week.